My name is Jennifer Evans, and I'm an epidemiologist with the University of California, San Francisco. I'm here today to talk about the concordance of risk behavior reporting in injection partnerships between young injection drug users in San Francisco. Before I go any further, I'd like to clarify that I don't have any personal financial relationships. I'd also like to take a moment to thank my co-authors at the University of California, San Francisco, and partners at the Tenderloin Clinical Research Center and the UFO Study for their contribution and support. Drug use among young injection drug users, or IDU, is a highly social activity. Young IDU usually inject with other IDU, and risk behaviors that increase the likelihood of bloodborne disease transmission commonly occur within injecting partnerships. Self-reported data is frequently used to assess the behavioral risks associated with parenteral disease transmission. However, it is subject to reporting biases, such as social desirability bias, due to the sensitive nature of the subject matter. To explore this further, and as part of a larger study of hepatitis C transmission, we interviewed pairs of IDU who are currently injecting together about their injecting practices with their partner. The research objectives were to understand the degree of concordance in risk behavior reporting within an injection partnership, to explore the data for patterns of concordance, and to see how concordance during follow-up may have differed from baseline levels. The UFO study is a prospective cohort study examining risk for and incidence of hepatitis C infection in San Francisco among young adult injection drug users under the age of 30. For the partner study, participants were recruited from the existing UFO cohort, and their partners were eligible if they were currently injecting together and hepatitis C serodiscordin at enrollment. Each partner in the dyad was asked to complete monthly interviews for 6 months about their current injecting practices, as well as those with their partner. In the interview, we asked about shared injecting risk behaviors, such as needle borrowing and lending and equipment sharing that may have occurred within the partnership. Some risk behavior questions were directional, where, for instance, one partner's borrowing of syringes was matched with the other partner's lending. To give you a specific example of this type of question, if we are interviewing Jane and Jack about their needle borrowing behavior with each other, we would ask Jane, how many times did you inject with a needle that Jack had already used, even if it was by mistake or an accidental needle stick? And then we would ask Jack, how many times did Jane inject with a needle that you had already used, even if it was by mistake or an accidental needle stick? Partner interviews were date matched to a corresponding partner interview on the exact or closest date within a 14-day period. Concordance was calculated at baseline and at the one-month follow-up visit. We used several methods to assess the level of agreement between partners. We chose the Spearman-Rank correlation coefficient to assess the degree of association of continuous responses, many of which had skewed distributions, including ordinal and interval responses. We calculated the percent raw agreement and assessed the direction of agreement using positive and negative conditional probability indices. I also want to note that we calculated the Kappa statistic as a secondary measure of agreement, but found it was difficult to interpret meaningfully because of the unbalanced marginal frequencies in the behavioral measures of interest. Just a little more background on how we calculated the measures of agreement. Here's an example from our survey on agreement on whether partners live together. The hepatitis C positive partners across the top and the hepatitis C negative partners along the left side. Each of the cells A, B, C, and D represent the frequency of the response combination. For example, A is the frequency of concordant yes response from both the hepatitis C negative partner and the positive partner. Here is how we calculated overall percent agreement. The overall percent agreement was calculated as the total number of partners with concordant responses divided by the total number of partnerships in the sample. So in this example, that would be A plus D divided by the total A plus B plus C plus D. This slide shows the conditional positive and conditional negative probability indices. These indices are interpreted as the probability of the response of one member of a partnership given the response of the other member of the partnership. The positive conditional probability index is the percentage of partnerships in agreement that a statement is true or that a behavior did occur. The negative conditional probability index is the percentage of partnerships who agreed that a statement is not true or that a behavior did not occur. If both conditional positive and conditional negative agreements are high, then the overall concordance is high. In this example, the positive conditional probability index is calculated as how often the hepatitis C positive partner answered yes, given a yes answer by the negative partner, which translates into A divided by A plus B. The negative conditional probability index is the number of times both partners said no, divided by the number of times the negative partner said no, or D, divided by C plus D. Moving on to results, this slide shows descriptive information on the individuals enrolled in the partner study. We enrolled 77 individuals into the study, 25 females and 52 males. Females were younger and had injected slightly less than half as many years as the males, but had similar levels of education, and most were Caucasian. The 77 individuals shown on the previous slide made up 59 unique partnerships. Some individuals had multiple partners enrolled and could recruit up to 3 injection partners at one time. The partnership composition is as follows. Most were injection-only and male-female partnerships. Hepatitis C-negative partners were a median of 3 years younger than their hepatitis C-positive counterpart. Here we show the level of agreement on continuous factors at baseline. We found a lower correlation on risk behaviors, like number of times injected together per day and how often shared injecting equipment. And we found higher correlation on partnership characteristics, like number of years has known partner and number of years injected with partner. This slide shows agreement on categorical items. Levels of raw agreement were from moderate to high, ranging from 54 to 95%. When broken down into positive and negative conditional agreement indices, we note lower positive conditional agreement for risky injection behaviors, like using a contaminated cooker and injecting with a needle already used by the hepatitis C positive partner. In other words, we can see for needle borrowing, the agreement on the presence of the behavior, positive agreement, was 50%, or just 1 out of every 2 partners agreed that the behavior occurred. Partnerships were more likely to agree that the behavior did not occur, with a negative agreement of 86%. Compared to the injection behaviors, sexual intercourse had a very high level of positive, negative, and overall agreement. We examined agreement on the same set of injection behaviors at the 1-month follow-up interview. We found levels of concordance moderately higher than at baseline for frequency of equipment sharing, but levels of concordance were similar to baseline levels for needle borrowing and sexual behavior. So what does this all mean? We saw that concordance was good overall, but varied by the type of information being reported. It was higher for sociodemographic characteristics, like how long partners knew each other and whether they lived together, but lower for injection risk behaviors. Concordance during follow-up may be higher than at baseline due to increased familiarity with the questions and partners clarifying the questions with each other while participating in the study. Looking at the positive and negative conditional agreements separately was useful because we found that the positive conditional probability was often lower than the negative conditional probability for the higher risk behaviors. This suggests that there may be a bias towards underreporting of the risk behaviors. Some of the lack of concordance we observed may be due to imprecise time interval matching. For example, one partner may have been interviewed 1 week later than the other partner, leading to a lack of overlap in the reporting period. Secondly, complex survey questions could explain some of the lack of reliability. We require respondents to correctly recall both whether the behaviors, such as sharing needles and equipment, occurred, and the sequence of events, or which partner used the cooker or needle first. In conclusion, This study provided insight into the reliability of survey questions in the UFO partnership study, and it demonstrates the difficulty of obtaining accurate reports of risk when eliciting data on sensitive or stigmatized behaviors. The next steps for our study are to examine zero incidents within partnerships and to perform genotyping and viral sequencing to confirm whether viral transmission occurred between partners. For confirmed transmissions, we will examine the self-reported needle borrowing and cooker sharing behavior within the partnership. For more information, I'd like to direct you to our website, and I'd also like to acknowledge our funders, the National Institute on Drug Abuse. Thank you.